Hello and welcome to Unleash Your Courage. I'm your host, Angela Schroeder. We're glad you're listening, whether you're on Turfs Up Radio or here with us on Facebook or listening by playback. Excited to have Ashley here as my guest today. Welcome, Ashley.
Oh, thanks, Angela. I'm excited to be here.
Yay. Well, this is a show where we talk all about facing our fears, stepping forward in courage, getting uncomfortable, and excited to hear Ashley's story today. I've gotten to know Ashley more over the last few months, and we'll talk about this on the show, but I'm excited. I get to see her. We will be together at the Huge Convention, which is when this will be airing and doing lots of fun stuff in a mastermind and dinners and convention, side by sides. We'll be doing all kinds of fun things next week.
That's right. Yeah.
So Ashley, why don't we start by you telling the audience just a little bit about you and your story?
Yeah, so I'm Ashley Maharis. I run a window cleaning and pressure washing company in Minnesota. We've been running this business, me and my husband, since 2016 is when we started it. We came from white collar backgrounds. So I was an accountant previous to this and he was in sales. So we just kind of, you know, took what we learned after 10 years of doing that and, you know, applied it to our entrepreneurial journey. We started out in the field, we've been working our way up the positions, and now we're hiring leadership and stuff in our business. So we're super excited about that. I guess alternatively, personally, I am, you know, a wife to Mike, but also a mother to three beautiful children as well. So.
Oh, and how old are your kids again for the audience?
Mackenzie is 13. And then I have two twins or a set of twins that, that are 10.
Fun ages.
Yeah, they are really fun ages. Yeah.
So we'll dive into a little of that later. I went through that journey too of what it's like building a business and being a mom, being a parent, and balancing all those things and those acts together. I didn't say as I introduced you, but I realized it is the first, like, Mike was a guest, Ashley's husband was a guest earlier on the show. And so it'll be interesting to listen to the playbacks of the different versions of the stories and how they intertwine as well. But it's the first, it sparks that I should maybe have a couples version on here. JC and I should on our show.
That would be a bad idea, I guess. Mike is usually our talker. So I'm not as much of a talker as Mike. His stories are super in depth, I'm sure, in comparison to what I'm going to offer, but I'll try my best.
Everyone has their own unique spin on the stories and their own lessons and unique perspectives. So I'm going to love to learn from that. So you talked about that you came into the entrepreneurial journey and that you were an accountant first. What made the two of you want to take the leap to being an entrepreneur and having your own business?
We used to stay up late, like every night, talking about the things we wanted to do and trying to come up with ideas of what we could do outside of the careers we were in. But nothing really pushed us until we did start having kids and really wanted to give more time back to the family and them and work on our own kind of schedules. I guess nobody ever really told us that leaving a career for entrepreneurship actually meant you were going to be working more. So we found out that quickly, but other than that, it was just, you know, we had worked up the ladder at our careers. I got to a place at my career where I went into a review and he was like, hey, you know, we're already paying you a lot of money. I'm just not sure, you know, how much higher we can keep bringing you up, because they were a small, you know, family owned business as well. And so it was either I stay there at where I was at or, you know, go off and do something different. And this was our different, and Mike too, he was in that similar kind of situation where he just wanted to, you know, start something on his own.
Yeah. Have something more. And there isn't another opportunity. Like you said, often when you are working for someone else, you don't control that path to success. You don't really have control over how far you can go, have control over your income and what you can do. And entrepreneurship is one of the ways to do that, to be able to have control over your success, to be able to set your own goals and have that control over your life and your financial freedom.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, exactly. Yes. exactly right.
I love what you said, though. No one tells you that you're going to work more. Because so many people go into this, and I know I did in the beginning probably too, thinking, oh, I get to make all the choices. I'm the boss. And you don't realize that there is a period as you're starting, and several times as you go through different scales of scaling your business, that, you know, you are in the trenches, that you are in it, grinding it, working it, and it consumes your whole life.
It really does, especially when you have a passion for it. Because like at my old job, I worked a lot too. It was like on vacations, I'd be staying up late and getting the job done. But I had a passion for the work itself. And I'm such a box checker that when I brought that into the entrepreneur side instead, like it got worse. Because as you know, you can never check all of the boxes. Like the more you check boxes, the more boxes come. So that was hard to juggle. And then not only that, but not really being a leader in my past jobs and knowing when I had enough, like I needed to bring somebody in for more help, like, and knowing where my limit was hard, but you know, something that we are figuring out.
I love that. That's going to be a definite takeaway of you never check all the boxes when it's your own business. When it's a job and you're in a role, you're like, okay, I'm checking every box. I made sure I had everything done. I made sure the project is complete. But the boxes are never checked because there's always the next level of growth and what you can do next and new boxes that you're creating.
That's right. Yeah. And the better you do, the more boxes they're going to be because you're doing so great and everybody now wants your service. So
that part of growth. So what did it feel like as you began the business? How old were your kids when you started the business?
So they were they had just turned 3, the twins did, and Kenzie was 6. So they were very, very young, but enough to know kind of what we were doing. And it was really sweet too, because they were like, They were cheering us on the way we had cheered them on, like for their short little lifetime. Like they'd be like, I'm so proud of you and I'm so excited. And it was just, they were our biggest cheerleaders and it was so sweet. And it gave us so much motivation. Unfortunately, we got to see the alternative side of it too, when we did start to give too much to work. And then all of a sudden the kids' eyes start rolling when you start bringing it up. Or, you know, initially our first couple of years, we'd be driving around all night, just putting like door hangers out and stuff, and the kids weren't old enough to stay at home alone, so they would sit in the back seat, you know, driving around with us. So there was like the excitement and then the burden, and now I think we're finally back to the exciting time again. But you know, that's that entrepreneur journey for you.
Exactly. So talk a little bit about what that felt like in the transition of that into that it is your life and you're working all the time. So you have kids, and in the beginning, like you said, there's excitement and then goes back and forth. In the beginning, there's not balance, right? When people talk about balance, it's just like you're all in. So what did that feel like, that transition in having a business and being a mom of littles?
I would say it definitely felt miserable at that time where you start to question kind of your decisions and your choices. You look back at your old employers and you all of a sudden see them differently too, right? Like, it's like, oh, now I get it. Now I understand why they were that way or whatever it was. But it did feel miserable to an extent. But at the same time, we were still the creators of our own destiny. And it's like, we just had to remind ourselves that we weren't working for a boss. And initially, I think I would always feel like my individual customers were my boss, you know, and I was willing to go crazy lengths for them to please them, until you come to a point where it's like, oh, wait, I get to pick my customers now. I get to decide, you know, what I do and don't do. So it was empowering as well, in that sense of knowing that it was, you know, the control was all in our hands the whole time. We had to divide up, you know, our stuff amongst the different boxes, you know, and put it back into the exercise, put it back into the relationships, put it back into, you know, the spiritual growth and that kind of thing. we had looked at a wheel back in the day on something like that, where it was like, it showed like all the different buckets you should be putting, you know, your time and efforts into. And it was like, none of ours were full, you know, it was only the work side that we were filling up at one time. But in the past couple of years now, we have definitely redistributed. So it's gotten better.
I love that. You hit on so many points of, you know, refocusing on that you were now the creators of your own destiny, mm-hmm. and that it was all worth it. And even in those states of overwhelm when you're trying to figure it out, I love your vulnerability and saying it was miserable. because there are definitely times that are, until you go through times of purgatory, I like to call them, of it's miserable as you're changing and then trying to figure that out. It isn't always fun. Mm-mm. And you've got to find that balance. And I think we're going to dive into kind of how you have. The other thing that you said is the control was in your hands the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I think in that state of overwhelm, in the purgatory, that we can really get lost and feel in a state of overwhelm. And it's just all coming down. There's so many boxes. We're supposed to be responsible for so many people. I think as moms and women, even more, we have that like take care of mm-hmm. burden. And so we just feel like we are responsible for taking care of our kids and taking care of our husband or partner and taking care of our team members and taking care of the clients, like you said. And anytime you feel like you're dropping one of those balls, it feels overwhelming. And you just summed up, that's such a statement to remember, I think, to ground yourself in those two things, that you are the creator of your own destiny in this role, and you've had control the whole time.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all choice.
And you hit on this that I love. It is part of my planner and weekly focus, and I talk about that a lot. You referred to it as buckets. I talk about it as pillars, as we can get too focused on the one area of our life when we're starting and doing something and just pour into the business and all of the energy is going into that. And if you're not filling the other buckets, or I have them in my weekly planner as pillars, because if one of the pillars falls, like then everything crashes. And you talked about some of them, like your spiritual growth, the relationships in your life, your finances, your physical health. I forget what the all seven are. I'm not sure. What, I already forgot.
Yeah. I don't know.
But if you're not taking care of all those and have systems that you are filling those buckets, that you're putting your relationship with your partner first, your relationship with your kids, that you are investing in your health, that if eventually one of those pillars is going to crash and your life's going to crash.
Exactly. Yeah. I was actually looking back on a video diary I was keeping right before we started this, and we had just decided to do this. And the thing I said on there was so funny, because looking back on it, it was something I had always said, but I didn't realize how much I had always said it then. But like we said, like, what we're going to do here is we are just going to give everything. We are going to outwork everybody. We are just going to pour everything into it. And then after 3 years or whatever that timeline looked like, then it would be smooth sailing. Then we would have time to fill up all those other buckets, and we'd take our time and everything would be great. But, you know, all we found out was after 3 years is like, we kind of had a business and then everything else was crumbling. And like that, again, it just, that doesn't work. So.
Absolutely. Well, we need to take a commercial break. And then on the other side, we're going to finish this conversation about how you guys made that change and the difference in doing that. So we'll be right back.
Have you considered artificial turf? It's great for areas with high precipitation, which means no mud after a heavy rain and no more mowing wet grass. Today's artificial turf is made using recycled materials and helps to reduce water consumption in areas of drought. Turf Envy's artificial turf is constructed of quality raw materials, safe for pets, humans, and our environment. With decades of experience, our staff can help with support, training, and product education to give you confidence when estimating a project for a potential customer. Learn more at turfnvusa.com today.
You're listening to Turfs Up Radio, the only radio station of its kind dedicated to the green industry. Turfs Up Radio, your industry, your station.
Hey everybody, Wayne Vohs, The Prophet, your host of Prophet Time here on Turfs Up Radio. If you listen to my show, you know I'm all about profit. As an industry, profit is something we fail to meet most of the time. If you're working hard but not seeing the results that you deserve, Profits Unlimited is here to help. We offer processes and systems designed specifically to make your company more successful, more profitable, and certainly more efficient. When you're ready to take your company to the next level, reach out to me at profitsareus.com. That's profits, A-R-E-U-S.com. And don't forget to turn into Profit Time every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m.
Are you a military family with a spouse on deployment away from home? Did you know that nonprofit Project Evergreen has thousands of volunteers across the country ready to help military families with lawn, landscape, and snow removal services? We call it Green Care and Snow Care for troops. If you are a military family and would like to receive this free service, or if you'd like to volunteer to help, visit projectevergreen.org. Project Evergreen, creating a greener, healthier, cooler earth, one yard at a time.
Busy.
And we're back. Okay, so I absolutely love talking about this area, so I just want to go back and not skip over it, of the importance of that, because I think so many people have that same thought mentality and attitude that we're just going to grind it out. We're going to go all in, push all in, and then we will build our business to the place where we can have balance in our life. Mm-hmm. And you just have that belief that like you can do anything for a short period of time. And that just doesn't always work. Like I said, it ends up in crashing. Now, yes, there are times you have to grind and grind a little bit more. But if you don't take care of those other things, it just, you end up breaking to the point of whether it be physically, whether, you know, you don't have the energy because you did not consistently take care of yourself physically, or especially in a relationship where you are running a business as partners, that if you're not taking care of that relationship, you can no longer work in the business together. And, you know, so many areas, your own spiritual health, your own mental health, if you aren't taking care of that, you can break to the point that you're not, you know, you're just not good to anyone else if you're not taking care of yourself first. Mm-hmm. So I love that you brought that up, because I just think it's one of the biggest lessons and things that we can pass on to young entrepreneurs, is letting them know the importance of that and giving them permission that, you know, they need to do themselves and fill those buckets first. So tell me a little bit about what changed and how you guys shifted to that.
So I would say, so you do that long enough, identity starts to change, right? Like, instead of being just a mom or a friend or whatever I was, it was like everything was revolving around business. So it became like the only thing we were, to an extent too. And then when you have a failure in business, then all of a sudden, you know, you failed in general, like you're just a failure, period. Like, if, you know, if that's the only thing you identify as. But I would say the big change was, we went into a coaching program at the beginning of last year, just kind of not really knowing where we were headed and what we were going to do. And our coach at that time, you know, really helped us just get our mind right. Like, it, like for me, it's like my mind just continues to go crazy. And like, I'm having tons of conversations all by myself up in my head, you know, and most of the time it's beating myself up the entire time and just, you know, making myself very, very small in the process. But we had a coach and he really helped us get through some things. As well as just like, it was funny because I'd show up to these coaching calls and I felt like a lot of the times it was like marriage counseling, like, and it was great. Like, we got to really offload on the things that we, you know, we were arguing about, and we had a middle person to kind of help us solve our problems or tell us they weren't really problems to begin with. And then we had a second coach after that. And I think he pushed us even the next step. So he came in right away, really honest about where he stood with his relationship with God and his church and all of that. And it really inspired us to go back into our church and get really involved and devoted to that. It really inspired us to also start getting a hold of our fitness and, you know, that part of our life. I know Mike, was it just even a year ago? He had a scare where like we thought he was going to have a heart attack kind of a thing. Like we just weren't taking care of ourselves. We were just really stressed out, really unhealthy. We were eating out all of the time because we felt like we never had time to really eat at home. So we're eating all of the wrong things. And we started to take our goals and forward with these different areas and look at it more like we look at our goals in our business. Similar to how people have key performance indicators in their business, we started having them in our personal life. And that's really what kind of got us out of that mentality of work is the only important thing. And now all of a sudden my box to check that I exercise for the day was just as important. And I knew it because my mind was starting to not, you know, be so mean to me. And like I was getting out of that funk and ready to, you know, take on more really entrepreneurial speaking, but also of course, you know, love my family more and spend more time with friends and things like that.
Mm, I love that. New boxes to check that we're in all of those areas. I want to circle back to some different things in that resonated with me. And when you put all your eggs in one basket or all you're doing is business, that's who you identify with, that was now your only identity. And I love that you said then when a failure happens in business or something goes wrong, then it's you are a failure because you don't have any of those other buckets or things that you are, that I am. You know, all of your I am statements revolve around that business. And if there's a failure there, there's nothing else holding you up.
Yes.
And those things are so important, those other things, to create that resilience and bounce back ability in things. I thought for so many other reasons, but that was great in that I am statement that you weren't somebody else. So if there was a failure in business, it was like it just took everything in identity all the way.
Exactly.
I love somebody just posted on Instagram, one of my friends, about internal conversations in your head and like that there's some percentage of people that don't have them.
Yeah, and that's
cool. Like, really?
Right? Mike is that way. He said that once and I was like, yeah. He's like, I think you're always having conversations. I'm like, no, I am, like all the time. Like I'm not listening to you most of the time because I'm up here, you know, having conversations. But like, he was like, that doesn't happen to me. I was like, what? Like that? No way. Really? Yeah.
It doesn't happen to him.
Not at all.
So I feel like I didn't have any awareness. This literally was just this morning. One of my friends posted a statistic of the percentage of the population that doesn't have internal dialogue in their head. And just like, honestly, are there people that aren't constantly having a conversation with themselves in their head? How did they tune that out? Or
Exactly.
But I always think it's not always a bad thing either. Like sometimes I'm having conversations and like talking myself into things or coming up with ideas, but
yep.
There are always thousands of things going on in my head. And I've had to learn to silence those to function and silence those to sleep. And so anyway, that's interesting.
For me, a special person. Yeah, for me, I feel like it was getting to the point where it was too negative. So I have found a lot of like, I found that when I've switched that now to positive, like I don't let my brain get negative on me anymore. Or if I like overthinking something, it's like, I totally switch it. So I've heard once that the voice in your head is usually like a parent figure or something, you know, and it sounds a lot like how they spoke with you. I've also read that you should make that voice like be the parent you always, you know, wished for, or the person that, you know, you wished was there guiding you or coaching you. So that's what I've really tried to focus on this year is just like making that voice bring me up and not bring me down.
I love that. Bring you up and not down. I had never heard of it as the parent figure. This is off on a whole tangent, but I read something that it was like your inner child, that it was you like a childlike voice, and you could use your inner voice to create imagination and thoughts or your, you know, childlike imagination and new child play-like ideas, or worry and fear that came from childlike worry and fear. So are you creating stories in your mind that are worry and doubt and fear, or are you telling yourself stories? Is your dialogue creating imagination and childlike play? Mm-hmm. So I like both of those.
Yeah.
Because it both focuses on, you know, are you positive or are you negative?
Yeah.
So you talked about areas of, you know, having goals in different areas of exercise, the ways you were taking care of yourself, getting back into the church and that spiritual growth. I talked a little bit about the buckets on my thing, but I know that I missed some. Are there other areas, or what are the buckets that you guys identified that, you know, you were going to try and work on and fill?
Yeah, I'd say that pretty much covers all of them, with that just a heavy emphasis on to just like the relationship we have with each other and how we treat each other. Again, with me and Mike just working together, it's easy to hate each other at times and then, you know, love each other another time, or treat each other just like business partners, but to really take time out to like just really appreciate each other and love each other. And yeah, I don't know. I'd say he's one of my hardest buckets, because again, he's in so many of my buckets. So it's probably one of the most important things, as I've found, is that the stronger we are, the better all of those other ones are too. But that's probably my main focus always is with, yeah, him and us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Relationships and that you do have to focus intentionally and differently. And I've fallen into that too. I haven't really ever done business and life with someone. And it's so much fun, as you know, because you get to share all of it and, you know, build something together, which is so exciting. But you do have to be intentional. And I didn't think we would think that as fast in the beginning, be intentional about having conversations that are outside of business, because you're so excited about all the things that you're building together.
Yes.
But how are you building each other up and working on that relationship outside of all the things going on business? Because there's always things to talk about.
There is. Oh, yeah. We get called on by our kids for talking about the business too much, but we found our place to talk about that more, as you know, the kids are actually more accepting as we talk about the business now. Cause I explained it to them too. Like when they come home from school and they're like, I'm so excited about my school day. It's like, well, it's just me and dad being excited about, you know, our work day kind of in that same thing. And it was like, it clicked for them. Then they're like, oh, we get it. Then, okay, we get it. You can talk about work a little bit. But yeah. And one of our biggest challenges too, was I feel like me and Mike we're so different. Like we are the exact opposites, which is so great in so many ways, because he fills everything I can't fill. You know, he is that. But we do tend to lean on each other in those ways and then not grow in those areas because of that at times. But, and alternatively as well, we tend to compete. Like we get really competitive. And like at one time we felt like there was a better version, like I'm the better version. No, he was the better version or whatever it was. But to really find that we're really great together because we're so different. But.
And you guys are in the visionary, because we talk about visionary and integrator all the time on this show. I think he is the visionary, right? And you are the integrator.
That's right. Yep. And it wasn't really until I read Rocket Fuel that I found more of an appreciation for myself, because there is something about that visionary role that, you know, you get looked at. You're a star in a sense, you know?
Yeah, you are.
That became hard for me at times, because I did have to step back, even though I knew I was working just as hard and doing just as much. But it's like, I would walk up to a customer and a customers didn't want to talk to me because I was a female or whatever it was. That was, you know, there was a lot of challenges there that I had to overcome. And when I'm reading that book, Rocket Fuel, and kind of finding like, oh, I do belong. Like I do have a place. Like I am extremely important. And Mike will always explain it as, of course the circus monkeys need a tamer, or the lion needs the lion tamer. Like he's like, you're the more important one in the circus. You know, I might be the show, but you know, whatever, but I don't know. That definitely gave me peace of mind throughout it.
I love that analogy to the lion tamer. And we talk about Rocket Fuel all the time on this show. I swear that book is in every single show notes, and I know it's going out. It has gone out in so many emails that we send as well. And I'm glad that it gave you that power, because both are so important. And you're right, visionaries get all the attention because that is part of their persona, is being the show and being the one that casts the vision and people are attracted to. But we are a mess. JC and I are both visionaries and both like super off the chart visionaries. I think I have a little higher integrator, like my actual score. I'm not saying I think actual integrator score is high as well, but neither one of us function in integration very well. And if you don't have an integrator, it is a mess. There is not a lion tamer. And we joked about it in the very beginning of our relationship. We have some funny videos from the very beginning, Facebook Lives, of being like, we're going to need an integrator far before we ever need a relationship counselor. And sure enough, we realized that. Like, we not, you know, we both have integrators in businesses, you know, in businesses that we run, in separate businesses, people that run the processes and run the show, but really needed integrators in our lives and an integrator for us, because otherwise it's like there's not only no one to stop you, but it is a circus. It's like, woo, here's all the ideas. Yay, that's good. You think that's good? Oh, I think that's even better. And it can just, at some point, somebody has to integrate.
Yep.
And Ryan Lee was on here saying, if you're a visionary and get put in an integration role, so you do that. And so well compliment your husband. If you have to be an integrator, it's like multiple personality disorder and you become like not a good person to anyone when you have to get back in that integrator role and, you know, be in the processes and tame the things down. And so if it's not your natural thing in a relationship, and this is for any business, if you're out there too, not just in partnerships, but if you are a visionary and don't figure out, if you are a really high visionary in your business and don't figure out an integrator in your business, things be going awry.
Yes. And vice versa. I think, you know, for me, like this year I took on sales, and it's like, sales is not, I don't think, the integrator's role necessarily. I think probably a visionary should be doing that. And that's the same with me, where I feel very stressed and I feel, you know, just it's not my natural place. Like, I can do it. I'll show up. I'll figure it out. But should I be here? Probably not.
No, it doesn't fuel your fire, and you're going to end up in that yucky feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have lots more to hit on, but we're going to take one more quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
True Fuel is a high-octane fuel precision-engineered for your 2- and 4-cycle equipment. They use the most advanced synthetic lubricants and stabilizers in an ethanol-free fuel, improving performance, protecting your equipment, and saving you time. That means easier startups, smoother idling, and quicker trigger response, plus extended life for all of your equipment. True Fuel is ready to use and easy to store, helping your operations be more efficient and reducing maintenance costs. We at TurfSup use True Fuel because we know it works and we know it's the best option. Check out TrueFuel50.com to learn more. That's TRUFUEL50.com.
You're listening to TurfSup Radio, the only radio station of its kind dedicated to the green industry. Now you can even ask Alexa to tune you in when you're home.
Are outdated spreadsheets and whiteboard scheduling costing you jobs? Or is a lack of consistency between crews causing your bids to differ from job to job? Or worse, delaying critical invoices and payments? Crew Control offers all-in-one business management solutions fit for every trade. From bidding and scheduling to invoicing and integrating payments, Crew Control provides real-time visibility into your crew's efficiency, whether you're in the field, in the office, or even on vacation. Manage your crews more effectively and improve business performance with Crew Control. Start your free trial today at crewcontrol.com.
From the East Coast to the West Coast and around the world, here's to all the women in the green industry. TurfSup Radio, your industry, your station.
True Fuel is a high-octane fuel precision-engineered for your 2- and 4-cycle equipment. They use the most advanced synthetic lubricants and stabilizers in an ethanol-free fuel, improving performance, protecting your equipment, and saving you time. That means easier startups, smoother idling, and quicker trigger response, plus extended life for all of your equipment. True Fuel is ready to use and easy to store, helping your operations be more efficient and reducing maintenance costs. We at TurfSup use True Fuel because we know it works and we know it's the best option. Check out TrueFuel50.com to learn more. That's TRUFUEL50.com.
And we're back.
All right.
Okay, so we talked about visionary integrator complementing each other in those, diving into so many things. And I haven't even talked about courage and a courageous decision yet, but wanted to go back to the cycle of, we talked about the beginning of the business in kids. And now that you've, you know, gotten into it and building the business, how do you think you've developed or any tips or things that have went well in that, things that you've learned along the way about running a business?
I would say, I think the biggest thing I've learned is to just let go of control. I'm very A-type. I'm very perfectionist, controlling kind of a person. And the more I let go, the more success I think that we see a lot of the times, maybe not completely, but like you have to let go. You have to let go to grow. So that's probably one of the biggest things that I've learned in order to grow the business more.
Yeah. There's such a balance there of, and I feel like this has been a recent thing, that a lesson I've really had to learn, the balance of, like you said earlier, as an entrepreneur, like it's all in your control. You have control over this. Yes. The balance of, I'm taking control of the outcome and running towards my goals. And the balance of, like you just said, of letting go of gripping so tightly to that the plan and how it all looks has to look like you thought it was going to look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, exactly. You have to let go. Otherwise, yeah, it just drives you crazy. So, but.
And that's something I think when I was, running the business with kids, especially when they were younger, I just thought it needed to look like everyone else. I put so much pressure on myself of the way the picture was supposed to look, like the way my kids' lives were supposed to look, the kind of mom I was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And in reality, especially as an entrepreneur, it looks a lot different, right? Your kids' lives are going to look different than a mom that's a stay-at-home mom, or maybe different than the corporate job who has a regular schedule and weekends look like this because there is a structure and there's off at 5. And so kids growing up in that environment have different evenings and weekends or different days. And the stop trying to compare, that I need to make my picture look like that picture, and that was the life my kids were supposed to have, instead of owning the life that we were, you know, the life that I was designing for my kids instead.
Totally. That, yeah.
You have the opportunity to give your kids a lot of different things to be able to design and control a lot of different aspects, even though there's always work and stuff. You know, you're designing your destiny and you're designing your life, and you can just, you know, own that you get to design the kind of mother and the kind of life that your kids are going to have as well.
Yeah. And I think that comes down to just being honest, right? Showing the world what you truly are and what you truly have going on just brings you more confidence in yourself in general. I think I'm kind of that person in general that wants to hide away from the world in general. But like the more I do show and the more I do get out there, just the more confident you can be in all areas of your life.
Oh, I love that. The more confident you can be in that as you're owning all of that. I know I had to find, besides that was probably the major one of just owning the picture, letting go of that it needed to look different, and then communicating that to my kids as well. But have you struggled at all with, or how have you succeeded in, I had to figure out ways to shut off and be present with my kids. so that they didn't think about like that I was always working. And my daughter, my kids are now adults, 21 and 23. And my daughter still describes it as they're trying to figure out their own career journey of whether she wants to be like me or not, or, you know, she's not used to the concept of working for someone else when that's not what she's seen. But she says, I don't know if you're always working or if you're never working. because I, you know, try to create such a flow. I was just in Nashville and able to take days and go to Nashville for her 21st birthday. Now, it did involve a lot of no sleep because I was working at the times that they were sleeping and then up all night with them during the night. But anyway, back to like, how have you created that balance, or have you struggled with that, or, you know,
being- I definitely struggled with it. So we had it where it was like, I'd be sitting in the office until like bedtime kind of a thing. So there was those times I remember my youngest daughter coming in and just being like, Mom, like, are you like, they would come and sit in the office just so they could spend time with me, you know, and they would sit on the other side of the desk while I kept working and we would just talk. And then, you know, she'd just be like, Mom, you're working all the time. Like, can we go do this? Can we do this? You know? And, we made a big switch. I don't like now 5 o'clock hits. Like I am for the most part checked out. Like that's it. What we got done was what we got done. Cause again, I can go and do more work, but all it's going to create is more work. So that's not the right answer, is to hurry up and do all of the work. So I definitely have hard stops now. I have boundaries, and my kids for the most part are just my best friends. Like they, besides for the business, they are the next thing that I have poured a lot into. So I literally tell my kids all the time, like, you're my best friend, and like kind of just kidding and whatever, cheeky. But I thought about it the other night and I was like, they really are my best friend. Like I just love them. I love spending time with them. I love them. They're such different people. Again, me and Mike are so different, so they're such a different combination. But I just love spending time with them. And I just have to remember that always when, you know, work calls and I need to go and spend time with them and ignore that.
Mm. That's awesome that you found that shut off point and that balance and, you know, how to do that. And there's always going to be more check boxes, like you said, but there's never those moments that you miss either. So it's finding that. And I think it's finding it uniquely with your kids too. Different kids are different, and trying to navigate that. Like you said, your kids would sit on the other side of the desk with you to be with you. And I think often we think and believe, and I struggled with this because my kids were very different in this. And then now trying to find that balance again and discuss it with JC of my son was very much as long as I was in the same room, like your kid. So I could be out in the living room after dinner working on my computer. And as long as I was next to him, like it was okay that I was getting a little bit of work done and off the checklist. My daughter, on the other hand, still, this is me being harder, still at 21, would rather, if I'm present, be present. Okay. So that environment was not okay with her. It was much better if I would go in the office, her have the awareness that I was working, get the work done, then go out and be all in present, like not looking at my phone, not looking at anything else. She cannot take multitasking once, if I'm present and in the situation, then wants me to be present. So it takes distinguishing and figuring that out with your kids and with your partner of which matters and which is time, you know, which works for them.
Yeah, you're so right. Every kid is very different and they do all need something different. And that's the same with my kids too. They definitely expect different things. And I think the more I invest in myself now in that essence of like growing in spiritual growth, growing in relationships, growing in whatever it is I'm diving into, it's like, they're watching us, you know, they see it. The more I'm like fixing myself in these last couple of years, the more those kids are like reaching, like they've got goals, they have their own KPIs. Like, you know, it is just as important to them now to succeed in all of these different areas as it is to us. So that is super inspiring. It's just to see them see what I've done and seeing that through their eyes is huge.
Oh, I love that. I absolutely love that. Well, before we do our sign-off question here, just thank you so much again for being on. And we are just blessed to have you and Mike in our lives. Iron sharpens iron, and it is great to have a community and a tribe of like-minded people that stretch you and want the same things or working towards filling all those buckets in life, and you know, people that hold you accountable and inspire to do more. So thanks for being on the show, and thanks for being in our life.
Thank you for having me.
So our sign-off question each week is, what is one thing you need to do this week to be uncomfortable? So we ask our guests as well to think of something each week, of one thing you're going to do to get uncomfortable, to grow, to step outside your comfort zone. And we started off with us. So I'll have you answer the question, and then me, as we end the episode. So what's one thing, Ashley, you need to do this week to get uncomfortable?
This already should be that thing. If you know me well, you would know that this is very uncomfortable for me. But I would say the next thing is, I guess I'm going to the Huge here soon. So I'm going to get uncomfortable there. I'm going to seek out more people. I'm going to network. Again, if you know me, that's not who I am. So I'm going to keep working on that part of myself and being able to communicate and talk with others. So.
Awesome. I love it. And I'll be able to be right there holding you accountable for that.
I love that.
So I'm going to relate mine to the Huge as well, because it's next week that we will be there together. And even though most people think that I am an extrovert, I'm definitely an extroverted introvert. I need retreat space to gather energy. And the thought of being with so many people, now that I've really done work on myself, I know that. I think I used to just escape with people. But now that I know that and really am present with people, that takes a lot of my energy. So it's different when you know yourself, I guess. So even though it looks like I'm comfortable in those environments and a social butterfly, that isn't really who I am. So I am going to, I know people sometimes are shocked.
I'm inspired.
It takes a lot. I mean, I'm already putting the things in place of rituals to refuel myself so that doesn't take everything from me. But I want to be really intentional about those connections and being vulnerable in those connections and making them on purpose. So it's easy to be the, but I want to really, step outside my comfort zone, get uncomfortable in looking people in the eye, having those deep conversations and making the intentional connections. So going up to people, making those connections, I'm going to put a number on it each day and make myself do it.
That's an awesome goal. And I will also hold you accountable.
Okay. You're going to be looking at me differently. I love it. You'll
be we're going to be watching you the whole time.
Okay, everyone, thank you again for joining us, whether you're live on Turfs Up on Facebook or listening by recording. Remember to download, subscribe, give us a review, and we will see you next Wednesday at 1:00 Eastern. Have a great week, everyone.